It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show, along with two chiefs of police today. It's not every day I get to say that. It's the whole, plus I get to, you know, brag about my use of the plural. Anyway, retired Rifle Police Chief Daryl Meisner is here, along with current Chief Deb Funston. Today, we're talking about the Rifle Police Foundation, a new nonprofit organization. Daryl, this is something that you've seen a need for a while, and now 11 years after your retirement, you're making a reality.
Well, I'm part of that. There's been a lot of hands involved in this, but yes, you know, back when I was the chief, there were a lot of times people would like to have made donations to us, but they were absolutely not going to give it to the city of Rifle to be dumped into the general fund, and maybe the police department got it. So there were a lot of times that we experienced that. And so I thought, boy, it'd be nice to have some place for them to donate funds to for various things and be able to access that. We were never able to realize that until recently.
So what was the change? What was the difference that made this happen?
Well, you know, you might talk with Chief Funston about that.
Okay.
But, you know, she and I had a cup of coffee and talked about it, and she says, would you be interested in? And I said, well, yeah.
So this sounds like maybe continuation of you seeing a need that Daryl had seen all those years that he was the chief.
Absolutely, and I think it's probably historical for a lot of chiefs that they run into this problem. I certainly ran into it at my last agency, and I think that community members do want to donate to their police department for, you know, various programs, and I think it can be frustrating because a lot of people want to know where their funds are going. I'm the same way. I like to see tangible things that came from you know, my giving to an agency. And I think this is a very easy way to do it. And, you know, we're hoping to even promote specific projects or programs that we're trying to do that we really would like to see some community involvement. And so to me, you know, going and having coffee with Daryl was just like the natural start to it because because he was a chief here before, he could also provide me with some of the history. And, you know, he's just been a fantastic person involved in this, getting this set up.
Well, not only was he chief for 23 years, right? 23?
22.
Is my math correct? Okay. I knew that there was a chance that it would have been a little bit different depending on the month that you actually retired.
Right.
Okay. Not only was Daryl chief for 22 years, he also grew up in Rifle. So he maybe has a little more historical outlook and perspective as well that may be helpful.
Absolutely. And, you know, like I said, we have such a great, generous community here that I have really felt nothing but support. And I think Chief Meisner can probably attest to that as well. And this just gives people another opportunity to show appreciation for the police department. You know, the city does take care of us, you know, on the government side of things. This is just something extra. If there's some project that the citizens here, you know, feel that they would like to see the police department participate in, it's just another avenue for us to be able to do that.
I appreciate you saying that because there are, I mean, you think the police department, you know, we're talking about law enforcement, right?
Yes.
But it's so much more than that, particularly what, in the last 30 or so years? I think it was early 90s, first time I heard the term community policing, right? And, well, what does that really mean? And I suppose if you ask 10 different law enforcement, you know, people that work for police or the sheriff or, you know, state patrol, they'll tell you it means something completely different. But generally it means all those outreach programs like the bicycle rodeo that we talk about every year, right?
Yes.
And it's programs like that that sometimes are not seen as actual bona fide police department programs. Well, you know, tell me about your vehicles, tell me about your uniforms, that kind of thing. And that's sometimes what is funded through the government side, as you call it, as opposed to these other programs that are still reasonable for a police department to be taking participating in, but maybe not fully funded. And so rather than, say, one of your officers or a couple of them getting together and putting on an event for the people to come out and actually speak face-to-face with a police officer in a non-threatening way, right? Because it is a little bit different when it's in the field versus some kind of fundraising event, right?
Right.
This actually gives them maybe the opportunity to do that more often.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have to, as you stated, I think over the years, community policing has probably changed its definition 50 times.
Sure.
You know, and the way that I look at it is it's really a relationship between the police department and the community, the citizens that are here, because it's really on all of us to keep the city safe, you know. And so as many programs as we can have that we're connected with our community, you know, and there's a lot of people out here that I think they don't necessarily have the time to come down and volunteer at something. And so this is another way that I think citizens can feel that they are contributing, you know, to some worthwhile programs that connect the police department and the city of Rifle with its citizens.
So, Daryl, how can people that are listening right now get involved with the Rifle Police Foundation?
Well, you know, we try to make it as easy as we can, and we're still kind of rookies at this, so forgive us a little bit if we make
When's the last time
stumbles.
You were able to use that term to describe yourself?
About 50 years ago. But anyway, yeah, right now we have a P.O. box in Rifle, and it's just P.O. box 46, Rifle, Colorado, 81650, Rifle Police Foundation.
Okay.
And also we do have a Facebook page presence, and we have an email. So we don't have a web page yet, but I suspect we'll be getting there to make it a little easier for people. On our Facebook page, as an example, we have a QR code that you can use to donate. And we're using a company called Zephy.com.
Okay.
And Zephy is one of those funding organizations that you can donate to. And we picked them because if you donate $100, we get $100. And the way they make their money is a little different. They'll ask you at the end of yours, would you like to give us a couple of bucks to keep this going? And if you choose to give them a couple of bucks or whatever, great.
But at least it's transparent.
Yes.
You know that whatever you want to go to the Rifle Police Foundation goes to the Rifle Police Foundation.
Absolutely.
And then if you choose to support this third party that's kind of helping make this transaction, then you can do that.
Right. And, you know, and if a person were to choose a specific idea or program that they would like to fund, and you know, we always take checks, cash, money order, whatever it takes, and you can designate how it goes as well. So say, for example, if, you know, we want to buy a new police dog, I'll just use that as an example. I'm not saying we are, but if you wanted to buy a new police dog, you would be able to earmark your funds for that or for whatever program you deem appropriate. And we'll track that and use it in that fashion. So we try to make it as easy as we can. And we're still learning as we go. And that's kind of where, that's how they can get involved.
So search Facebook for Rifle Police Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's riflepolicefoundation@gmail.com. And then the post office address is box 46 in Rifle, 81650.
Correct.
Take a quick break.
Also,
so go ahead, Daryl.
You can also look at the Rifle Police Department page. They also have a little link to us as well that shows that as well.
Remind me, is that through the city website or is
yes.
it a separate? Okay, so yes. rifleco.org and then go to the police department there. If I say chief, then which one am I talking to? So Chief Funston, I guess, is the way I should address you. You mentioned earlier that this whole idea kind of came up while having coffee with Daryl recently, and I don't know, maybe I'm naive about this sort of thing. It doesn't seem like that would necessarily be a common thing to have coffee with somebody that held your same job 11 years ago. When you became chief in Palisade, did you have that opportunity?
To have coffee?
Yeah, to have coffee with the former chief and just catch up. And
yes, in fact, I met Daryl, I think, at my hiring process, and he had mentioned, let's go have coffee, you know, as soon as you get settled. And so I was like, I'm going to take advantage of this. I mean, he's got a lot of history here. The previous chief to me is now my boss.
Right.
So it's, you know, I think I have a very big advantage to have these two gentlemen you know, close to me in my community that I can draw information from, you know, to help me do my job a little bit better. And, you know, we had been kicking around the idea of the foundation, and I knew that we were going to need to put a board together for this foundation. And so Daryl was the first one that I spoke to about it to see if he was interested and if he could offer, you know, any advice or things that they had thought about before. That's kind of how it got started.
I don't know much about Daryl. I know usually when someone makes the decision that they are retired, it's frequently difficult to get them to make any kind of commitment, you know, after that fact. But it seems like this was a pretty easy sell.
Absolutely. I mean, he has impressed me just with his dedication to this city, you know, and there was no hesitation at all. It was almost immediate, like, you know, yes, I'll help you with this and I'll serve on the board, and has followed through with that and done some amazing things. And so I think, you know, the city of Rifle is very fortunate to have him living here in the community and continuing his service.
Gee, I'm starting to blush.
Is it common to have a separate 501c3 nonprofit organization to accept donations for these types of programs that we'll talk about here in just a minute?
I think there's a lot of government organizations that have 501c3 foundations or what have, you know, some type of organization that's associated with donations. And I think, to me, it creates more transparency, and I think it was just the right thing to do. And so it took some work, but we were able to get it, you know, finally get it solidified. And like Daryl said, there's still some things that we're working on, and I think we're all learning as we go. But I think it's going to be a really good thing for the city of Rifle.
Well, you know, we got to also remember we've had a lot of work was put into this by Chief Funston's administrative assistant, Angela Mills. She's done a lot of the legwork, and she's done a lot of the typing and,
yes,
and stuff that has helped us move this thing along. That you know, I've been involved in other 501c3s. This has moved at an incredibly good pace.
Which is saying something, because normally it takes a while to get all the I's dotted, the T's crossed, the form submitted, and, you know, the approvals and the board together and all of that.
Sure. And, you know, and if this whole thing has gone together, I'm amazed at how quickly it's come together. And a lot of that credit goes to Angela and Chief Funston. You know, the other board members have all been totally on board with it, too. So when we've had our meetings, we're ready to rock and roll. You know, there's excitement there to get it done.
Who are the other board members? By the way, we've kind of said this, but just to be clear about this, the members of the board of the Rifle Police Foundation are not members of the police department. They don't work for the police department. So there is a separation there for people that, you know, may be concerned about that. And I suppose that's fair. You know, you want to – I think that's actually one of the requirements of having a 501c3 is that there's some separation, or at least if there is a connection, you have to make sure that it is known. But these people do not work for the police department. They are volunteering their time on the Rifle Police Foundation board.
That's correct. You know, and for the most part, we've got a pretty diverse group, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, we have Larry Stewart, who's from Alpine Bank. He's strong financial background. He's been involved in other things in the community. Their Young Guns is another 501c3 that he's been involved in. And that experience has been very helpful. And Kevin Atchison is another one, a businessman here in town, also involved in the Young Guns group. Leslie Smith, who's, she's with school district and school business district as well. Mm-hmm. So she's got some financial background that we were excited to have. Then Anthony Roselli, who is a school teacher up at Rifle High School, brings a whole nother perspective that is just, it's really kind of fun when we get together and visit about this and other things. And then it's allowed us to put like our bylaws together. It was surprisingly quick. I was involved in another one that took us months and months and months to get them done. And this has gone very well because I think all of us had the same focus on the right mm-hmm. vision, and it just seemed to click.
Have you had discussions about, okay, we're going to be receiving millions of dollars in donations?
Well,
okay,
course.
I'm being optimistic here. But have you discussed about maybe key things that you wanted for sure to focus on initially that maybe are not currently in the police department budget that you wanted to make happen?
Well, and that's kind of the stage we're at now is that we've kind of got things to where we can get things rolling. We do have some funds already. Of course, millions would be very nice, but we're also realistic. But we'll be meeting with Chief Funston here in the very near future to talk about those things and start looking at that, and we can start focusing on those issues. So when somebody says, well, what do we need? We have a better idea of being able how to tell them. And we can even use like our Facebook to say, we're currently looking for donations to fund whatever.
Right. Currently, what are your officers required to provide themselves outside of the police department budget? Is there anything?
Uniforms,
that kind of thing?
No, the department pays for uniforms and pays for their equipment. Obviously, some pieces of clothing is on them, but you know,
so you're
some
not
officers,
buying underwear for your
yeah,
own,
no,
okay.
no. So there, I mean, for the most part, they as far as equipment, but there's stuff that comes up as an example. We have a AHRT team, which is a regional task force or a tactical team that does high risk types of arrests or warrants. And so there's members from Glenwood and the city of Rifle and Garfield County. And so they are facing a dilemma right now with expired vests. And tactical vests, when we have to replace those, are very, very pricey. They're somewhere in the neighborhood of about $3,600 a piece. And so, you know, we are working on the different ways to get that funded. But that's just an example. There are sometimes expenses that come up that can be very expensive that or maybe something gets damaged and we haven't budgeted for replacement for that year. You know, we've talked about adding an additional canine officer. We lost one of our canine officers last year. He moved to the front range. It was all a very good departure, very good officer. We miss him. But he took his dog with him, and so we're down. We have one canine officer at this point. We've had some interest from the community in trying to get an additional canine officer. But the thing that's nice is that the timing of this is the city is getting ready to launch our strategic plans. And the police department itself, we just went through a strategic planning session. And so as a result from that, I'm sure when I meet with the board, we can discuss some possible ideas to move forward. So that's kind of, I think, how we're going to start with it. And then as things come up, you know, that I think might be something that the foundation could help us with, then we'll take those requests to the board and then allow the board to make a decision if we're able to utilize those funds.
The five board members that you mentioned earlier, Daryl, is that the size of the board, or are you looking for more members of the community to get involved in that way?
We're probably going to try to add two more board members. We've got just going through that process currently, so we've got an interest form that we're going to get out to some people that we've talked to, and we'd like to increase that just a little bit. It makes it a little easier to get a forum if we need to, and a quorum, and it actually just adds a little more breadth to the and depth to the board as well, which sometimes is really beneficial. Mm-hmm. And so far I'm the only person with any law enforcement background, which is probably appropriate. I don't want to make it too heavily law enforcement driven. I think it should be very much community driven. That's where we get so much benefit, I think.
Mm-hmm. You know, we hear so much about law enforcement is a high profile job. No matter where you are, it's going to be high profile just because of what you do and the job that you carry out. And it seems to me, first of all, in a small town, you're much more likely to be on a first name basis with a lot of people, maybe not a majority of the people that you see on a daily basis. But my point being, it's hard. Where am I going with this? To have a negative conversation with somebody who you genuinely know, who you see on a regular basis in the community. And so I have to imagine that in a small town like Rifle or even Glenwood, Carbondale, any of the places on the Western Slope, it's a not that there aren't, you know, those nuances that we hear about everywhere all over the country. But it seems like there's more support in general for law enforcement, and I have to think that, in part at least, it's due to the fact that people actually know other people, and they understand that everybody is trying to do the best they can on a daily basis. How's that for dancing around a touchy subject, huh? But do you understand what I'm trying to say, though?
Well, completely, and I think it's really important that we are connecting with our community. You know, we have several officers that I think, I'm not sure if they were all born here, but they were all raised here, and I was
nobody's perfect.
Right, yeah, no. And I got to serve for 11 years in Montrose, and I was born and raised there, and it does. It creates a friendship, if you will. Mm. You know, and I think that we have had tremendous support from our citizens here, and I think it's because, you know, we have professional personnel that are out there doing their best, and like any human being, we're going to make mistakes occasionally, but I think it's just important that we own those mistakes and we move forward, and I think people trust that. And, you know, as long as everybody realizes everybody's just trying to do their best. And I think even as officers, we look at citizens that way, even citizens that we're dealing with in a very negative scenario, we also have to have that compassion and also to remember that, you know, maybe this is their very worst day and they're trying their very hardest, you know. So, you know, I think we just have to maintain that relationship. And this is another way that we can be connected with our community.
Saw a bit of a proud smile on your face there when she was talking there, Daryl.
Oh, yeah. It's back when I was the chief, we tried to keep that in mind, even though in the boom days we were inundated with some real interesting scenarios.
That would be a conversation for another time, right?
Yeah, but you know, when I first started in 1973, my training officer was Sergeant Lauren Donner, and that really dates me. But one of the things he taught me was this whole concept of compassionate enforcement of the law. And that was the whole idea, is that often we're dealing with some regular people on the worst day of their life. Mm. And we have to remember that. And, And if just by simply doing that and showing people a little respect goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. On both sides.
Yes.
Both sides of that coin.
Yes.
Yeah. Again, the Rifle Police Foundation is on Facebook. You can look them up there. You can send them an email if you want to learn more information. We mentioned that you would like at some point to expand the 5-member board to 7. Are there requirements? Do your bylaws specify that people on the board necessarily need to live within the city limits of Rifle?
They don't specifically say the city limits of Rifle, but we do say that they need to be Garfield County residents.
Okay.
You know, it would be hard to have somebody from Michigan on the board, even though,
you're not going to zoom them in.
And we would appreciate it if they didn't have a criminal record. It's just that type of thing where we also have a fiduciary responsibility for every penny that comes in. So we want to try to make sure that that's the case. And we have a couple of people that are going to be invited to our next meeting to talk to us and see if they're willing and we're willing and we're a good fit.
Makes sense to me. Do you have a title? Are you the president?
Well, I'm the chairman.
Chairman. Okay. All right. I had a feeling that you were involved in that capacity. Again, Daryl is the only law enforcement representative on that board. Again, Daryl retired 11 years ago from the Rifle Police Department. So he brings some context, if you will, to the board. But the other 4 members currently on the Rifle Police Foundation board are not members of law enforcement. And current chief Deb Funston is here as well. And one of the things that is probably important to mention, people may be thinking to themselves, wait a minute, and I think we kind of touched on this earlier. The police department is a government organization. It's under, the charter of the city. And so what do you mean that you don't have everything you need every year in your budget?
Right.
I imagine it's just like any other budget for any other governmental organization or any other business. And you look at what you want every year, you look at how much money is actually available, and then you come up with a number somewhere in the middle. And the larger organization, the City of Rifle, same thing. They look at each department's request for that year and how much money is going to come in through taxes and I suppose to a lesser degree, fees and other things like that. But generally speaking, taxes when you're talking about a municipality. And sometimes programs and equipment gets cut from the budget. And that's where the Rifle Police Foundation comes in, at least for the police department, to help bridge that gap a little bit.
Absolutely. And, we are very well taken care of with the city. There are just, like you said, there's only so much in a city budget, and we have to be very responsible to our citizens here because it's all taxpayer money, right? And so the city, I think, is very diligent in making sure that that money is spent well amongst all of the departments within the city. But you're right, there's things that sometimes cannot get budgeted because there's other pressing issues in the city that need to be taken care of. And that's the responsible way to look at it. So occasionally there's just things that happen. For example, pieces of equipment getting damaged or something that we need to replace that wasn't necessarily in the original budget. And, we can wait a year and try and get it into the next year's budget. Or sometimes the city will adjust the budget so that we can, make repairs or whatever it needs to take place. But there's also things that come up that the citizens want, that aren't necessarily within our budget. So that's where I think the collaboration comes in with the community is, okay, if we want to put this together, this is what this budget item looks like, what it's going to cost us. Is it something that we can possibly raise money and pull this together? And so that's really the purpose. It's not, the police department is not hurting It's not, that is not the drive behind this. It's just to provide some extra funds for those programs that we would like to implement to make that connection with our community a lot stronger.
I'm curious if you have any examples in your communication and your conversations with members of the community about programs or services that they would like to see.
Well, we've had, you know, the one, and I think I mentioned it earlier, one that does come to mind is people love canines. They love having canines come out and do demonstrations. And we currently have one canine officer, and that dog is certified to sniff drugs. And so he will go out sometimes and do, you know, different demonstrations. And citizens, and especially the kids, just love having a dog. And so because we just lost one, you know, we've had a lot of citizens come up and say, you know, are you going to get another canine? And it's, to me, it's a very worthwhile program, but it's a very expensive program too. So, I mean, that's one example. You know, we have a bike rodeo that we do every year. We have Shop with a Cop that we do every December. And there's a lot of donations that come out for those particular programs as well. And this is also an easier way to track where those funds are going. So there's already some programs in place that the city does help with. But to make it even a bigger, better program, we have a lot of partner businesses that donate money and donate supplies for these types of programs.
And by the way, if you're considering making a donation to the Rifle Police Foundation and you want to earmark your donation to one of those things that Chief Funston just mentioned, you can do that. Again, there's a QR code on the Facebook page. You just search for Rifle Police Foundation, and you can earmark that for anything that you mentioned or really anything else. I mean, obviously, until the threshold is met to actually supply a particular item or program, that money is going to be held by the Rifle Police Foundation. But you can earmark it for whatever you would like.
You know, I think that's the fun part of it is the bicycle rodeo is an example. We started that back in, I believe, 1976. And at that time, we did get donations, too, but we had a bank bag with cash in it, and the finance director was having a hemorrhage over that. So, but I don't want to digress too much, but this is a cleaner, more transparent way to manage that type of a situation.
So, I will digress for you. It was around that time, actually, I went to my first bike rodeo, which was actually in Glenwood in the old school parking lot there at 14th and Grand.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember very distinctly John Martin and Bancy Barros being, helping out with the bicycle rodeo.
Yeah. Another name from the past.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. We could fill a whole nother conversation with that, actually. But, wow. Any final thoughts? Has it really been a year since you've been the chief?
It has really been a year.
It seemed like it. Yeah, wow. Well, again, time flies. You don't really realize.
Yes.
I still don't believe it's been 11 years since Daryl was the chief, to be honest with you.
Me too. But,
done a lot of camping since retiring?
Yes.
Still go to Moab a lot? Didn't you go to Moab?
I always went at least once a year to Moab and just wherever, you know.
I want to say you had a fifth wheel or something like that at one time that you used to,
Yeah, I think I'm slowing down just a little bit, but I'm trying not to.
Well, you know, there are two kinds of retired people in my experience. There are the retired people that will do nothing and will put nothing on a calendar or a schedule because they're retired, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there are people like my mother and my stepfather who were busier in retirement than they were when they were actually working, you know, full-time jobs. It's just interesting how that works.
Yeah. But
what about you, Chief? What do you do in your free time?
Well, you know, I spend a lot of time with family. I have with three kids between us, and I have four grandkids. So that alone can take up a lot of time.
Grandkids are such a gift.
Yes, they are. And we enjoy rafting, biking. I love hiking and dabble in a little bit of photography. So, yeah, it's just nice to, when you walk out of work, and have some other things that you enjoy doing.
Still have family in Montrose?
Not anymore. Okay. I have family in Grand Junction. Have a brother who's over on the Eastern Slope. But most of our family that's left is around Western Colorado. Yeah.
It's a great place. You know, my grandpa, after my dad graduated high school, they took the one vacation they ever took. They were gone for 3 weeks. They got back. A neighbor said, "Did you see anything you liked?" Grandpa said, "I didn't see a single thing. I'd trade one square foot of Colorado for." Okay. That was Grandpa's voice there that you just heard, not Gabe's voice. Yeah. Final question. Your hometown.
Yes.
Pronounce it for me.
Montrose. How do you pronounce it?
That's not how everybody else, or that's not how some people pronounce it. You know, some people, it's a silent T, right?
Yes.
It's either Montrose or, which I have always referred to it, some people refer to it as Montrose.
Uh-uh.
Okay.
If you were born and raised there, it's Montrose.
All right.
Yeah. Now, do you know how to say Uray correctly? I had somebody ask me that this morning. How do you pronounce Uray? I said, it's Uray.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've heard that one too.
Sunshine.
I've heard that one too. I've heard
Uray
and yeah.
I cringe every time I hear that one. Yo.
We could this could go on for a while here. I mean, we could, you know, Buena Vista, Louisville, and so on and so forth. All the best to both of you. Stay safe.
Thank you very much.
Again, if you want to learn more about the Rifle Police Foundation, search for them on Facebook. You can interact there. You can also send an email to riflepolicefoundation@gmail.com. And again, the post office mailing address is Box 46 and Rifle, 81650. All the best. We'll see you around.
Thank you.
You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.